This was front page on so many of the websites yesterday, the news websites.
Okay.
And it's Kim Jong-un's apparent weight loss sparks speculation over his health.
Now, they do this back and forth. When he gets heavy, he's dying. When he gets thin, he's dying.
Well, that's basically what they're saying, is that he appears to have lost a significant amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, like, is this having something to do with his health? Now, let's put that aside,
okay,
right? Like, with that thing.
All right.
But the other day, one of my very good friends, we had went to like a networking event, right? And it's one of our coworkers here. And one of the guys that she knows that we haven't seen for the last year and a half throughout the pandemic was there.
Yes.
So we walk in and we both look at each other and we're dead silent and we say hello. No joke, Raven, the guy must have dropped 120 pounds.
I was actually on the peripheral of this conversation at one point, and mm-hmm. I just don't understand why neither of you would ask him. Just ask him.
So it's one thing, like, when somebody loses a lot of weight.
Yes.
Now, I feel like you shouldn't be like, you look great, because what if they were sick? What if it is like Kim Jong-un?
I saw the gentleman. He looked very bright in the face, and his skin was a good color. I mean, he appeared to be completely healthy. Nowadays, I think a lot of people, they have, you know, surgery, right? They get the mm-hmm. the sleeve or something like that, and then obviously they combine that with working out and, you know, eating right and all that stuff, and they get these huge results. I don't think the surgery is even all that bad of a thing to ask nowadays. A lot of people have that.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where you can never comment on somebody's weight, whether or not it's, you know, heavy or loss or whatever, because I feel like it's one of those things where you just, it's become so taboo. Like, we just have to accept each other as we're, just keep a straight face and don't say anything.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, if he's put in all this work, let's say he lost it naturally even, all mm-hmm. right, and just dedicated himself over the pandemic to just grinding it out every
yes.
day,
right.
eating right every day, while the rest of the world was getting depressed and thick, he was actually doing the right thing. You don't think he wants some accolades from that? You don't think that he wants you to be like, oh my God, you look fantastic. What's going on?
It felt so awkward. Like, it's not, I feel like it's one of those things where you never know what to say. So, okay, you see me, right?
Yes.
And for some reason, you haven't seen me in a year and a half, and I'm very thin.
Okay.
But not a fit thin.
Right.
Just like a little bit frail thin.
Yes.
Right? Okay. What are you going to say?
Well, I mean, I would ask if you were okay. I
See?
Would ask
now
if you
now you hurt my feelings.
He didn't look that
okay.
thin. He looked good.
Uh-huh.
The guy didn't look like he was going to fall over. He was significantly thinner than you guys remember him, I guess. But to me, he looked like a normal human being. He was perfectly fine.
I think I am from the train of thought where I think that you cannot comment on anybody's weight ever anymore. And that is just the way it is now in 2021. Just keep your mouth shut.
Well, clearly, this conversation right here is the most adult way to handle that problem.
Yep. Huh? Fence line witness, what have you seen happen in your neighborhood that you just observed casually on the side? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, they cleared out this brush, and these are the neighbors that kind of live like across the street to my right.
Okay.
And I was in my daughter's room upstairs on the second floor, and I'm looking out the window. I go, what? Wait, where? What? What is that?
So you've got an angle right down into the yard, essentially.
They have two headstones. Now, the headstones are like these big crosses.
What?
Right.
What?
And all I kept thinking is, what is buried in my neighbor's yard that requires headstones? Like, it's one thing if you want to bury a pet or something like that.
Sure.
It's another thing if you put up a full headstone, like it's a cemetery.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, you live in an old neighborhood. Like, I mean, that neighborhood's been there for a long time. It's a downtown neighborhood in a city that's been established for a long time. So,
what dead thing is in my neighbor's yard?
I mean, there could
yard?
Be an actual person in that yard. Like, you
that's
don't
what
even
I was thinking.
Know.
I was thinking, like, is there, like, and then I wanted to say, like, should I go straight? I don't talk to these people very often. You know, hello, you wave when they're walking the dog,
sure,
or whatever.
Right, right. Not even acquaintance, really. They're neighbors,
yeah.
That's all.
And I was like, do I say, like, hey?
Hey, is that your great-grandmother?
Who's dead? Who's dead in your yard? And then I'm like, I'm squinting because I'm like, does it have, like, something written on it?
Yes,
and I'm
maybe
like,
you could read it, decipher it, do a Google search.
I got one, but two,
right.
Side by side. And,
yeah.
And then I'm like, then I start thinking, like, crazy stuff. I'm like, you know, like, when you start making up narratives in your head?
Sure.
Like, what if he killed his ex-wife and now She's buried in the yard.
Okay.
You know, like that song from Guns N' Roses. Yeah. I had to kill her. Remember that song I'm talking about?
Yes. That explains one of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's the other one? I don't know.
Right.
The narrative in my head didn't come up that far.
The wife's dog.
Right?
I don't know. Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. That's kind of creepy.
Then I was like, should I call somebody? And then I'm like, I don't know who you're supposed to call.
Right. And the fact is like, what are they going to find out? Right. Right. You know, they're going to be like, so is it or isn't it? Yeah.
Isn't that wacky?
That is wacky.
Now I'm scared.
Sometimes when they cut things back, you do find things that you never knew were there before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mine's kind of the opposite, actually. What I've been dealing with right now in my neighborhood is, you know, I have to take the dog for like 3 walks a day. My wife and I right now, because he's, you know, recovering after surgery, whatever. So there's sidewalk in half my neighborhood and the other half there isn't. So, but on the side of the sidewalk, there are a lot of trees in my neighborhood. Nobody's trimming their trees over the sidewalk. So like, you know, in the street, you can drive right under a tree. There's plenty of space out there. But if you're walking down the sidewalk right now, like I have to duck underneath like 8 trees. And I wonder, I've never seen the trees this long. Are people sick of me walking around the neighborhood?
Probably.
Is that what's going on here?
I would think that's most likely what's happening.
It feels like a personal affront. Like, let's trim those trees down. How do you have your tree trimmed on one side and then not the other side?
Maybe they got hungry and they went in for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then they didn't feel like going back out because there was a good show on Netflix they wanted to watch.
Believe me when I tell you my neighbors are on top of their lawn like somebody you've never seen before. For the most part, like they're very good at it. And they have landscapers. I mean, they're paying them to do everything else. They're just ignoring these trees.
Most likely it's you.
I told you.
Yeah.
It feels personal.
Fence line witness, what have you seen go down in your neighborhood? My neighbors, I just noticed the other day, I was in my daughter's room on the second floor. They took down some like brushes and some big bushes. They've got 2 headstones back there.
It's weird.
Who's dead in their yard?
Yeah, that's hard to explain. There was heavy equipment in one of my neighbor's yards the other day, and I can barely see through the trees at this time of year, but he's been weird all the time that I've lived there.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what I'm going to see when it unveils coming up this winter.
1-800-330-9999. What have you seen go down in your neighborhood? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Okay, so I once witnessed my neighbor's daughter sneak her boyfriend in through the window late at night. And unlucky for the 2 of those kids, I have a pretty good relationship with my neighbor. So I called her to let her know what I was watching.
Oh.
And hearing, yeah. I'm sorry, but like hearing her storm into her daughter's room and give her the yelling of a lifetime was like way funnier than it should have been.
You're evil.
It's so funny. I'm just cracking up now thinking about it.
Did you ever sneak boys in? Just be honest. But you didn't get caught.
Yeah, maybe once. Right. But I wasn't dumb enough to get caught.
Right. That's the whole thing. Wait a minute. So, Raven, you see your friends or your neighbor. You see their teenage daughter sneaking boys in. Do you say something? Yes or no?
100%. Because now I'm an old guy. Right? So I'll be in everybody's business. I don't care. But on one side of me, I've got a retired couple. So it's just their grandkids. And they're like 5. When I see the grandkids sneaking somebody in, that'll be one thing.
Yeah.
And on the other side, I've got a 90-year-old widow. So
that's your goal.
There's nobody climbing in the window. But I'll tell you something. When the retired couple goes on vacation, every time their adult kids are there with their friends in their hot tub. Every time.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What did you see happen in your neighborhood?
I understand being in shape and you know, like looking good and putting in an effort. But my neighbor's obsessed. When I was working from home, she went on easily 3 walks a day, used her garage as like this weird, like, yoga Zumba weightlifting studio. You drive by that house, she is in there pounding it out, you know, just crushing it.
Just shaming your neighbor for being fit and caring about her health.
I have an older neighbor who she must take 7 walks a day.
I mean, I have a lot of neighbors like that
too. She is out there all day and night. And then I have another guy. You know, he was a bigger guy, and then same thing, during the pandemic, all of a sudden, he turned, like, his garage into a gym, put up a heavy bag, so he'd be driving by sometime, and he'd be in there pounding it. Yeah.
Like, going nuts at it.
Like Rocky. He did lose some weight, to be fair.
Right.
He did lose some weight.
Hey, it's Ian on Raven. What did you see happen in your neighborhood?
Man, I saw my neighbor brewing beer last weekend on their back patio, and it looked like the guy was in a bonus scene from Breaking Bad. He had, like, this giant chemistry-looking drum, hoses everywhere, bottles all over the place. Like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, and I just hope he doesn't blow up my fence or something. I don't even know.
I'm with you, man. I see people doing this stuff, and it makes me nervous. They start talking to me about yeast rising and all these different things, and I think that there's going to be some sort of homemade bomb, right? And it just makes me nervous.
They're just making beer.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, let's be real. How many of your friends' beer have you taken a sip of when it's done and been like, that's really good?
Well, not beer, but, you know, I come from a big Italian family.
Well,
so
yeah, but that's different. You guys have been doing restaurants and everything forever.
Well, we make wine.
Right.
We make wine all the time.
No, but they're like, they're borderline professionals. If they're not professionals, like, they're about as close as you could be. I'm talking your neighbor is making a beer.
How about when we make sausage? You think the neighbors think anything about that? They're like, what are they doing over there? Oh, they're just making sausage. I feel like that's also probably weird. Yep. Chanting is trending this morning, and I am here for it because I love to chant.
What kind of a weirdo loves to chant?
No,
seriously.
Oh, my gosh. My sorority sisters and I, when we were in college, we would go out. And when we started getting ready and we were rolling and we were partying, all of a sudden, the bar, we go, 1, 2, 3. And we would all go, we love to chant. We love to chant.
You guys are a bunch of dorks. Like, who would do? I mean, how obnoxious. Like, just a group of screaming, drunken girls.
Any chance that I get to chant, like, when I'm in an arena and people start chanting, it is like Christmas morning for me. I just go 100%.
So strange.
It's true. And today, there's actually two crowd chants that are trending and going viral.
Okay, what happened?
All right, Raven, what are they chanting here? Ready?
Let me hear it. We love Saints. New York Saints?
There, yes.
New York Saints.
And the reason why that's trending is the Islanders have beat the Bruins to make it to the Stanley Cup semifinals.
Housed them last night.
And the New York Saints chant.
How you like that, Bruins?
And it's a dig at the Bruins coach because basically he said in an interview a couple days ago that the refs were treating the Islanders like Saints.
Like they were Saints.
Exactly.
Right? They're no Saints over there. Right?
Yeah. Let's also play now. What are they chanting?
Okay.
This is one of the most popular chants of all time that you hear at games.
Okay. Is that Yankees suck?
That's refs, you suck.
Oh, okay.
Refs, you suck.
I thought I heard Yankees suck.
No.
Because that is a popular chant.
Watch your mouth. Okay.
Also happens.
Mm-hmm. Refs, you suck is the number one chant that's done at all games. Did you know that?
Well, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, refs, you suck.
Okay.
Sorry.
Raven, what are they chanting?
And that's what they're chanting. Look at LeBron.
Taco Tuesday.
Oh, Taco! I love Taco Tuesday.
The reason why they're chanting Taco Tuesday is because
it's Tuesday.
No, because remember when LeBron James tried to trademark Taco Tuesday?
Well,
because he used it in his Instagram post.
That's a savvy play by LeBron James. He was denied though.
Taco Tuesday.
All right. Let's go something is all I hear.
It's SoundCloud rapper, which is so funny because that is what the Bucks fan were screaming at Damian Lillard. Am I saying his name right? Lillard?
Yes.
Because he put out all those raps
He's
on
got a
SoundCloud.
Rap album. Yes.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a dig because like it's fake when it's a SoundCloud rapper.
All right. It's a little bit of a reach on that one there.
But the other reason why a chanting has gone viral is because of this specific chant.
Mm-hmm.
This is viral right now all over on TikTok. It's a soccer group, and nobody knows what they're chanting.
Let me hear it.
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Pirate ship? Something pirate ship?
So, we can't figure out.
Yeah.
Is it pirate ship?
Mm-hmm. That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Is it Bart Simpson bouncing?
Is that embarrassing?
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Is this about that is embarrassing?
That is embarrassing!
Yeah.
That is embarrassing!
What's the accent? Like, where are they from?
I don't know.
With soccer fans, you never know.
Right.
All right. So that could be the thing. They could just be drunken English people.
Lobsters in motion?
Yeah.
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Could be lobsters in a pirate ship.
Lobsters in pirate ships?
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
Here's the sad part. Nobody knows. We don't know.
Not even you and your sorority sisters?
No.
So sad.
We love to chant.
All right. That's enough. Thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you.
All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. This is pure spite because it makes me crazy and cringe. But when I send an email with multiple questions laid out very clearly.
Oh, and you only answer like one or two?
No, and they just write back and they write yes.
Well, yes, that's
yes
fine.
To what? Yes. To everything? To
same,
one of the two things?
Same conversation yesterday with somebody.
Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy.
Yes.
It almost makes me spiteful to the point like when they email me other things,
yes,
I just don't respond.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of weird email world have I gotten myself into? This weird email vortex where now that I'm so annoyed that they can't respond to multiple questions that I'm just avoiding their emails altogether.
I mean, are you spiteful or are you just biding time until you're actually ready to deal with them at this point? Because I give you credit for that one, for not just calling them out and being like, what is your problem? I did the same thing. Three questions in a text message with somebody yesterday, and this is somebody that I'm working with. One answer,
yep,
and then after that, that's fine. Give me some more.
I want to write back like, it's free typing, it's free. You could put, you don't, there's no amount of money per letter to respond, so just answer all of it, or just say yes to all of this, great, or something along that line.
Right. This is something I've been seeing in a couple of my neighbors' houses to the point where I thought somebody might be sick. If you're just planning on waiting till it isn't hot out anymore to cut your grass, take your trash out, pick your boxes up off your stoop, that's all I need to know about you. I mean, it's not just takeout and delivery right now. If you're not ill in there, like, come out. Do something.
It's really hot out.
It is
hot. Really hot.
But I mean, like, come on. Like, it's really out of control. It's like looking like an open field now. It's crazy.
Am I the only one that walks in my house and it collapses?
And I get that. And I feel that. But I the first few days that my wife pointed it out, I was like, maybe we should knock. Maybe somebody is not feeling well. Maybe they're sick or whatever. But no, I've seen cars come and go. I just don't understand what's happening.
I get it. Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Yes, I'm in a grocery line. The person in front of me has a full carriage of groceries. I have three items. They don't offer to let me go ahead of them. I do it all the time. If I have a lot of groceries and I see somebody one or two items, I offer them to go ahead of me.
Yeah, this is a tough one because it's like I was in line ahead of you, but I would do the exact same thing. And I've had people offer it to me, too. And it feels nice when somebody does offer it to you.
Sure.
Right.
Let's be real. Sometimes you got that moment, though, where you're like, don't stand over here. Don't stand over here. Don't stand over here. Don't stand over here. Because you already been waiting. And you're like, oh,
right.
Come on. I don't want to have to be nice now. I'm just being real.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Have a great morning. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Okay, so if you take the last cup of coffee from the office coffee maker and don't make more, if you kill the Joe and don't make Mo, that's all I need to know about you.
You were so proud of yourself with that.
Right.
You killed the Joe and don't make Mo.
How often are you using that?
I'm rolling up for this one.
How often are you using that and who has repeated it? I don't think anybody's repeated it in the office yet.
She's like, I'm going to make this a thing.
Right.
You finish the Joe and you don't make Mo.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text too. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's so messed up. It's so messed up.
Oh, for years you defended it to me. What are you talking about?
When you were a kid, what did your parents or siblings tell you that you actually believed? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Here's what's going on at my house with my 12-year-old Hayden and my 2-year-old Dakota.
Dakota, Lila ate the baby.
Ew, no, no, Lala. No, don't eat the baby.
Hayden has convinced Dakota that Lila, our dog, eats all her toys. And here's what she does. She tells her that she eats the toys, and then she takes the toys and she hides them. So I will see little Dakota with her hands on her hips.
Yeah, upset.
And she'll go right up to Lila, and she'll be like,
Lila, don't eat the baby.
Lila, don't eat the baby.
Right. And bad dog.
And then she's trying to open the dog's mouth.
Oh, good.
Trying to get the toy out.
That's good.
And I'm, Hayden, Where's the baby?
Right.
Where did you put her baby?
Right.
You know, all the time. And it's like, and she's just laughs and laughs. Like,
she's having fun.
Hilarious.
She's actually hiding the toys.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I started thinking about it. I'm like, it's kind of a rite of passage, right? It's like when you're a sibling, you tell your little sibling lies and you see if they believe it. Or even as a parent.
Sure.
You know, you get a little bit creative.
Well, no. A lot of the times parents don't do that. No. That's just something that you've done a lot of times. So Anna, one of Anna's favorite things to do is when Hayden was a little bit younger, she would point to random men.
Yes.
Regular men.
Yes.
Who were out at stores, public parks, or anything like that, enjoying themselves, maybe even with their own family.
Uh-huh.
She would point to them and say that if you leave my side, that man is going to take you.
Going to steal you.
Specifically.
Yes.
Like,
if you say in general you're going to get kidnapped, it doesn't resonate. But if I point to Raven
a guy,
and I say that man is going to take you, you know what? She stays by your side.
What if she ever walked up to a security officer or anything and told them that?
Listen, it's worked.
Oh, my gosh.
I've also told her that the mannequins in the stores come to life if she leaves mommy's side,
perfect.
And they'll also take her.
I mean, seriously. I mean, how paranoid could you be? I mean, you know?
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When you were a kid, what did your parents or your siblings tell you that you actually believed?
So I grew up in Queens, so it was never a good thing to play in the street. And rather than just tell us not to play in the street, my mom and my aunt told my sister and my cousin and I that the little girl a couple of houses down was kidnapped by a man driving a red van.
Oh.
So our entire childhood, my sister and my cousin, we were so afraid of red vans, but we never played in the street. But this took us to adulthood, and we didn't realize it until much later at like Thanksgiving dinner, and we were talking about how, you know, I always look for a red van and I'm always looking to see if someone's in there so I could help them. And my sister, we were like in our 20s at this point, she goes, me too. I couldn't believe it. We were traumatized our whole life.
Yeah, there was no girl that lived two doors down. There never was.
Never.
In my family, it was a white van. Whatever happened to her? She goes, oh, they just moved.
Yeah, they just left. Yeah.
Thank you.
Strikingly similar to Anna's lies that she tells, too.
Well, the van is a big thing. Is that you are taught to be fearful of vans growing up. Anytime a plumber or work had to be done on your house, you were hiding in your room. People are messed up.
It's for sure. Yeah. Parents, siblings alike, all of you, cousins, we've heard it all.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What did you believe as a kid that your sibling or your parent told you? This comes up because my older daughter, Hayden, who's 12, keeps telling my 2-year-old that our dog, Lila, is eating all her toys and then she hides them. I hear Dakota running around the house screaming this all the time.
Lila, don't eat the baby.
Lila, don't eat the baby!
Yeah, don't eat the baby.
Yeah. What did you believe when you were a kid?
This is my son. When they were little, in my house, there was no cursing. I never cursed. My husband is another story. He's a man. But my kids were not allowed to curse in my house. So my son would tell my daughter, raccoon is a bad word. You never say that. So whenever he got mad at her, he would go, raccoon. And my daughter would come, oh, mommy, he said a bad word.
Can you imagine the first time she goes to like a farm and they talk about the raccoon and she just sits there horrified?
Wait a minute, what?
Maybe that doesn't happen.
About raccoons at farms?
I don't know. Isn't that where they live, a farm?
They're more likely to be in your dumpster out back of the apartment building.
All right.
Thanks for the
Thank
call.
Thank you.
Oh, good my morning. God, Anna, I love you.
Thank you.
Anna and Raven, what was that lie that your siblings or your parents made you believe?
So I was actually the one to tell my niece, I'm covered in horror tattoos and they're all black and white. So she grew up coloring my tattoos. Well, she noticed Annabelle and started asking about her. So I told her, if she's not good, I know Annabelle and she'll come and take her away.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, she got bullied at school. She got bullied at school and she stood up right to the girl and says, my Uncle Josh knows Annabelle and I'm going to make sure that he makes sure you go away.
Oh, my gosh. Sir, did you serve any time at that point? Because, I mean, somebody could have called and reported that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an uncomfortable investigation.
my brother and his girl were so mad at me for the longest time.
Right.
At that moment, your niece turned into Annabelle.
That's great. But you know what? That bully, she thought twice about it after that.
Mm.
That's right.
Anna and Raven, what did your parents or your siblings tell you that you actually believed when you were a kid?
Actually, it was my cousin. She told me that my Cabbage Patch doll that came with the adoption papers, she told me that they were really my adoption papers. And if I asked my parents about it, I would be sent back.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny.
People are so evil. Who did that to you?
My cousin. And the Cabbage Patch gift, like, it came with a name for your doll. And she said that was my real name.
It's
and if
so
I asked
creative.
My parents about it, I would be sent back.
Be real with me. Do you still hate that cousin?
No, actually, she's my best friend.
Oh, yeah, no. I would never forgive that cousin.
Any cousin that could come up with a story like that is my kind of girl right there.
My cousin is evil. We are never going to be friends.
My 12-year-old keeps telling my toddler that the dog is eating all her toys. And at this point, I don't know how Lila, my puppy, isn't about 700 pounds because Dakota just cries and cries about it.
Right, right. Well, it's funny, though, how siblings and parents, they'll lie to kids all the time.
And sometimes when you tell kids these lies, they remember it and they believe it. What did you believe when you were a kid? 1-800-330-9999.
Anna and Raven. I had 10 siblings in my family, and we were practical jokers. And we played a joke on my brother as he was growing up. We told him his name was a different name. And my principal at the school had to call my mom and my parents up to find out what was going on. So he believed from the time he was 2 years old that he had a different name than we did.
Oh, guys are terrible.
Oh, my God.
So he actually was so brainwashed that he did tell his friends in his school that was his name was Peter Schmidt.
Oh, my gosh. Poor Peter.
Oh, I love it.
Terrible.
We were in big trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Sure you were.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you believe as a kid?
My dad told my little brother that he was growing horns, and I believed him.
Oh, so my Italian family, we do the same thing. We used to tell my brother all the time that he had horns. We would do the thing with our fingers.
Yeah.
The pointer finger and the pinky, and we would point it, and my dad was pointing it at you. That means that your horns are starting to grow.
Mm, right. So you were Satan.
Kind of.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you. Deformities. Yes. A great thing to traumatize a child with.
For weeks, I wouldn't go near my brother because I thought he was turning into the devil.
Right.
Right.
Some of them are just born that way. Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you believe when you were a kid?
It's just my husband, what he believed. His mom had 6 kids. And every time the ice cream truck came down the street, she would say if it was playing the music that they were sold out of ice cream and they believed her.
Oh, man, that's evil.
That is genius. they're
sold
sad, out
though.
Again. Maybe next time.
But, Mom, why are all the other kids there?
I don't know. They're going to be so disappointed when they find out they're out of ice cream.
I know, but like 6 kids, that's a lot of money for ice cream.
Yeah, that's true. And on Raven, what did you believe when you were a kid?
Hey, my husband's parents, when he was younger, said that if he didn't behave or maybe eat his vegetables, I don't really know, that the gypsies would come take him.
The gypsies.
Now, it wasn't like your typical carnival gypsies. It was like the Sleepy Hollow gypsies with the carriage and the lanterns.
Yes, just poor nomadic people that were, you know, living their lives. That's, right.
I mean, the gypsies are yeah, no, I 100%.
I mean, they're a proud people.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did your parent or sibling make you believe?
My brother told me that if you kiss a boy before you're 16, that everyone will know because your lips turn green. I was petrified.
Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
It's like the blue pea in the pool.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Also not true, by the way.
Well, we don't know that for sure. I think there's some public schools that do that. If you go to the bathroom in the pool, that it's, no, yeah. I think that it's
yeah.
real.
You think you're still trying to tell kids that? That's not true. That does not exist.
I think it is. Hold on.
It doesn't.
Is there,
go ahead and Google it.
Is chlorine yeah. turn no. color pee?
No.
Hold on. Let me just check. Let me just
no,
check. Let me check.
Yeah.
And Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Urine
nope.
indicator so. Dyes of yeah. sustenance. I think it's real.
No, it's not real.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It says right here, the most common pool myth of all time. No, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's not real. The average man owns about 12 pairs of shoes, while the average woman owns about 27 pairs of shoes. It seems like a lot, but I read that and I went into my closet and I looked and I'm like, I think I have a ton more than 27 pairs. I mean, I have like bins filled with them up in my attic too.
It's funny when you say it for a guy, it sounds like kind of a lot in my head. It's just a different perspective here. But then I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking to myself, I do own 12 pairs of shoes. Mm. I have to. And if I don't, it's maybe within a pair or two, plus or minus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were discussing this because we were talking about the average amount of money that shoes cost. Because right. shoes are expensive.
Oh, man, they are up right now. Yesterday, we did that field day thing. I was wondering, I was scared. I didn't want to kick my sneaker off because it's my good sneakers.
Yeah.
These sneakers were $70.
Okay.
Like, that's like nothing to a lot of people.
I think what guys in general think is a lot for shoes versus what women think is a lot for shoes.
Sure.
It's two different things. And when this came up, on average, guy pair of shoe costs $75, right?
That's the average now?
Yeah.
So even my expensive sneakers are below the average.
Well, it blows my mind. And producer Sean is here because when we were discussing this, he seemed so perplexed. Like, I could see, like, the little monkeys running around in his brain trying to comprehend the conversation.
Yeah.
Because, producer Sean, I asked you to bring in every single pair of shoes you own. How many shoes do you have here on the table with us right now?
Four pairs.
So you have
four pairs of shoes plus the pair that you're wearing right now.
Plus one on my feet. It's five total.
So producer Sean owns five pairs of shoes. Now, what is the most amount of money you've ever spent on a pair of shoes?
The most is $25.
Now, which one of these babies costs $25?
It's these beautiful babies right here because they're steel toe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me see
Big
those.
Big spender.
So those are steel toe
Big
spender. Sneakers.
Let me see one of those shoes.
Those are steel toe sneakers that pointed out. Normally, steel toe is like a construction boot.
It's definitely steel toe.
Right.
I still can't get over 12 pairs of shoes for a guy. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I think the expensive pair I have in there is maybe $100, and those are like dress shoes.
God.
And that was like, you know, daddy needs a new job kind of thing.
Wait a minute.
Like, I put on dress shoes for that. Most of my sneakers, $50 by principle is where I believe that sneakers should cost.
Now, I am just confused as to whether, as a woman, I live in make-believe world, or am I just, I on average would have to say my shoes cost about, like, not flip-flops, but like my real shoes.
Yeah.
$100 minimum.
Each pair costs
minimum.
At least $100. Yeah.
Yeah. So, producer Sean, you have brought in your selection of shoes here. You can see this on our Instagram at Anna and Raven.
$25.
So the most expensive shoes, because they have the steel toe, of course,
right.
was $25.
Sneakers.
Yeah. Where did you get these other ones and how much do they cost?
Every single one of these shoes, with the exception of these beautiful flip-flops here, came from Walmart.
Okay.
And what's the average cost?
$10. $9.99 plus tax.
$10.
The sandals were $5.
Where does one wear steel-toed sneakers?
Right. But,
the beach?
What are you doing? That's athletic.
Is that a warehouse?
Requires steel-toed.
Is it a warehouse, I guess?
I'm a clumsy man. I was for a warehouse job at one point, but I do stub my toes a lot, so those babies came in handy.
Oh, my gosh. That's more protection than I'm willing to carry around.
Well, we are so curious, because I think that this is kind of nuts. On average, how much do you spend for your shoes? You can head to our Instagram page at Anna and Raven and let us know there.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Raven picks them. It's three big news stories, but you only get to hear about one, and you guessed it. Raven picks which one it is. Raven, here are your three options. Congressman baffles federal agency when he suggests a way to fight climate change.
Okay.
Anti-vaccine lady says vaccine causes cutlery to stick to your head.
I've had enough of that.
Or two men survive a plane crash after they were on a taco run.
Well, taco runs, depending on the time of day, can definitely inherently be dangerous. I'm going to go with the congressperson.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoever it is.
Okay. In a bizarre portion of a climate change hearing, Congressman Louis Gohmert asked if a federal agency could do this.
Is there anything that the National Forest Service or BLM can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert.
I mean, why? 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 Anna has this thing a lot of times when we answer the phone and we're done with a phone conversation. She goes, okay, just hold on for a minute if we have to go real quick. And I'm always like, why? We're not coming back. We're not going to do that. Why does she have to get back to this person on something so nonsensical as change the orbit of the moon or the Earth around the sun?
Maybe she was confused by the question, just like the rest of the world was. And here's the big question, Raymond.
Yeah.
Only one person can change the orbit of the moon around the sun.
Okay.
Who do you call? Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Thor, Iron Man, the Jetsons, or E.T. That's it. Only one of them can succeed. And if you're going to choose the Jetsons, you got to pick which one of the
Jetsons. Clearly got to be Thor.
You think Thor can do it?
Elon can get there. Bezos can get there after Elon gets there, of course. Definitely not before. I'll tell you that right now. And the other, E.T.'s already, he's past there. He went past there. His planet is already by there. And the other choice, who was the other choice?
The Jetsons.
Oh, the Jetsons. Thor. He was just a regular guy. George Jetson just went to work.
Oh.
He was just a regular guy raising his family.
You don't think he could change the orbit of the moon and the sun? No.
Oh, okay. He couldn't even clean his own apartment. Rosie the Robot ran everything. Everybody knows that.
So who would it be, Thor or Iron Man? It comes down to the two of them.
Clearly Thor.
Okay.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just have to decide who's right. Thomas and Kaylee. Kaylee, what's going on?
Okay, so Thomas's parents have hit kind of like a bad patch financially, and they want to move in with us until they can get back on their feet. He's thinking we have no choice but to say yes. And here's my thing. His parents are really bad and have always been really bad when it comes to their finances and money. I mean, he may not think this is a nice thing to say, but, you know, they've never done anything for us financially. Not that I expect them to. You know, they didn't even, like, help him at all with college. I mean, we've always been on our own since we've been together, and I'm fine with that, but I don't really think that it's our responsibility to take care of them because they can't take care of their own finances.
Thomas?
I'm actually just, like, shocked that it didn't happen sooner, because these are the type of people that will, like, go on, like, $10,000 trips when they have no money coming in.
Right. Thomas, is that all true?
You know, I'm hearing Kaylee. There's truth to what she's saying, but at the end of the day, these are my parents. These are people who have loved me and supported me in the way that they can. And as a human being, as a son, I do not feel comfortable turning them out on the streets. I think that, you know, people have shortcomings and people fall on hard times, and you ultimately just find a way to work through it. You know, this is an opportunity to step up. And there are times where my parents maybe didn't support me. They didn't put me through college, but that actually taught me a lot. You know, I am financially independent. I am able to provide care. And how could I not provide care to the people who cared for me and brought me into this world?
Thomas, is it true that you felt emotionally supported as a kid and as a young man and now as an adult, but you did not feel financially supported at all times? Am I getting that part of it correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And are your parents retired at this point, or they're on fixed income, or what?
They're on fixed income.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, here's the danger. The only thing that I hear is I understand what you're saying. I mean, even though obviously it's a huge impediment on your life, you say to yourself, what would be the alternative? What would happen? These are my parents. You know, you still love them. On the other hand, there's a very large danger. And I think that Kaylee is right to at least be nervous about the fact that if you have them move in, there's a certain comfort level that will set in. And then there's never any actual effort to change this situation or rectify it. How do you do that? I mean, sometimes you're almost better off supplementing their income, right, Anna?
That's what I would do. But I don't know if that's what everybody would do. There's nobody else that they can go live with?
I think they should just ask to move in with his younger brother. I mean, he lives by himself, so it's not going to be awkward the way it would living with a couple.
Thomas, why don't they go live with your younger brother?
My younger brother lives in a one-bedroom. You're asking, you know, like, for lack of a better word, you're asking elderly people to sleep on a couch. It seems like an unreasonable ask.
It's a lot. But you know what? Let's see what the audience has to say. 1-800-330-9999. You may be with Thomas that it's his parents, and at the end of the day, they need somewhere to live, and that's going to be their home. But you may see Kaylee's side, too. This is just years and years of waiting for this moment to come, and now they have to reap what they sow.
Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Thomas's parents are notorious for not being great with financing, so it doesn't come as a huge surprise that they have come into a problem now and are going to lose their home and they need somewhere to live. Thomas's wife, Kaylee, says they can't come live here, not long term. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's not fair to us. But he says there's no other option.
Well, I mean, you've got to figure out something, right? You're not going to put your parents out. You're not going to watch them suffer after they raised you. It seems like she's really got a sticking point, you know, not only with just in general the way they've planned, but this vacation that they took. I'll just say this. If you're retiring, you take a $10,000 trip. You might be looking at it like, this is the biggest trip we're ever going to take. Is that something that you hang your parents over the rest of your life? I'm not sure that's fair.
Yeah, but she had a lot of good points about them always being like this. Mm. Whose side are you on? Would you let your in-laws move in? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on her side. I think he needs to understand. I think the right answer, like you guys said, is to supplement their income. I think he needs to really think hard about if he lets them in, he's sort of rolling the dice on his marriage, right? She sounds very reasonable and very supportive, and if he wants her to let them move in, she'll let them move in, but it's going to wear on her day in and him day in and day out, and like Raven's point, they will have a very hard time getting on their feet again given their historical, you know, what they do, and eventually it will just become a point where she can't bear it anymore, and that's a big risk for their marriage.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Thomas's parents have run into some financial difficulty and have asked to move in with he and his wife, Kaylee. Kaylee is very adamant that she doesn't want them to move in because they've been financially irresponsible their whole lives.
Yeah, she says that this is a problem that they could have seen coming for a very long time. Again, they've been fiscally irresponsible. Sooner or later, this problem is going to arrive on their doorstep. She doesn't think it's fair that they should have to take it on. She doesn't want to take it on.
She said that they should go move in with his younger brother, who lives in a one-bedroom apartment by himself. What do you think? What would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Anna and Raven.
I am on his side. I mean, it's his parents. At the end of the day, they're who raised him. Like, I couldn't imagine turning away my parents.
Yeah, I mean, talking about putting people out on the street, I think, is a phrase of wording, Anna. I mean, obviously, you're not going to let your actual parents become homeless. But, you know, to have them move into some place that is destitute or whatever is also not something you're going to feel good about. I mean, it's hard to say no to your family.
Oh, absolutely. But if it's for your own mental well-being, then maybe you need to figure out something in between, right?
I guess. What if they had done that to you when you were like 5?
That's different.
Is it?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I would say I'm on the husband's side. Those are his parents. But I think that clear boundaries have to be made. Maybe they could collect rent and put it aside for them and save it for a place for them to move out.
Yeah,
it's like training them like a teenager, right?
Yeah, no, thank you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I think the wife is being, really selfish. I mean, it's his parents. Yes, they did wrong. They did some things that were wrong, but it's still on the end of the day, it's his parents. And if she feels that way and they're on a fixed income, when they do come to move in, what they need to do is set up some kind of payment to help them get out. You guys are going to give us this amount to live here, but you're also going to give us this amount of money so that we can help you save to find something else.
What I like is the word boundaries, is creating boundaries and maybe even creating a timeline so that everybody knows that there's an end in sight and something you're working towards and that this isn't a permanent solution.
Listen, Kaylee may be 100% right. The problem that I have really is that it just seems cold.
Right.
Flip that coin.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, what if it happened with her parents? They may be very responsible, financially independent people, but what if they had some shortcomings, something bad happened, right? And they were in the same position. Would you feel the same?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Thomas, our audience agreed with you. Kaylee, I get it. It's a lot, and you feel like they haven't been responsible, and now it's your burden to deal with, and it's not cool, and it's not fair. But at the end of the day, when you married him, you also married his family, and they're going to have to come with a package at this point.
Yeah, well, I guess there goes any personal space for, I don't know, months, probably years, but okay.
I don't think living in the wreckage of the future is particularly a good idea in this scenario. I think, you know, if we take it one day at a time, this is something that could totally work.
I think the end goal is the same, Thomas, is that you can move your parents in temporarily right now and try and figure out how that works. But I think that, you know, from day one or day two, at the very least, you're going to start to see that there's ways that it doesn't work all that well. Right. So let's still make a plan. Let's come up with a new plan for your parents there. They're going to have to adjust their income, how they manage it. Maybe you can supplement a little bit. They're going to need to understand that we've got to make a new plan. This is the plan going forward. They've got to abide by it. That's the only way we're all going to make it.
And just remember that once they move in, it's very hard to have them move out.
That's right.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Michael, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Mike.
All right, Mike. We've got five questions here. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Then I'll bring Raven back into the studio, and I'll ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I am ready.
Number one, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, surprisingly beat A Quiet Place 2 at the box office this past weekend. Who were the real-life paranormal investigators that The Conjuring series were based on?
I don't know.
Number two, MTV has announced that the MTV VMAs will once again take a place in New York City after being virtual last year. What shape is the actual VMA statue?
It's an astronaut.
Number three, Judge Judy is ending after 25 years on CBS and is going to Amazon streaming. What is Judge Judy's last name?
Shinehart?
Number four, the New York Islanders beat the Boston Bruins last night to take the series 4-2. This was the first year the NHL teams were allowed to have ads on their helmets. The Islanders' helmet advertises Northwell Health. Which bank advertises on the Bruins' helmets?
TD Bank.
And number five, the CMT Music Awards were last night. The video of the night went to Carrie Underwood and what artist for their song Hallelujah?
Luke Bryan.
Oh, my gosh. Michael. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right, Michael only got 2 out of 5.
Not too good, Mike.
No.
No.
Let's see how I do.
Disappointing. These were good questions. Number one, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, surprisingly beat A Quiet Place 2 at the box office this past weekend.
Okay.
Who were the real-life paranormal investigators that The Conjuring series were based on?
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
One time, I interviewed Lorraine Warren, and she always, I'll never forget it. It, like, stays with me in my heart. She says, you can't run from evil. And like the way she said it in the sweet little old lady voice, it haunts me to this day.
Vera Farmiga has been a great choice for her.
Number two, MTV has announced that the MTV VMAs will once again take place in New York City after being virtual last year. Hmm. What shape is the actual VMA statue?
It's a moon man, the astronaut.
Yes.
Astronaut, excuse me.
Number three, Judge Judy is ending after 25 years on CBS and is going to Amazon streaming. What is Judge Judy's last name?
Blum.
No.
It's Bloom, right? Blum?
No, it's Shindlin.
Really?
Yeah. Number four, the New York Islanders beat the Boston Bruins last night to take the series 4-2. This was the first year that NHL teams were allowed to have ads on their helmets. The Islanders' helmets advertise Northwell Health. Which bank advertises on the Bruins' helmets?
I'll take a shot and say Bank of America.
No, it's TD Bank. Ugh. You guys are tied right now. Number five, the CMT Music Awards were last night. The video of the year went to Carrie Underwood and what artist for their song Hallelujah?
Gosh, I have no idea. Luke Bryan?
Nope, John Legend. I mean, wow. That was really something. You guys tied with two. That does get you your own Ann on Raven t-shirt, Michael, but the right person today could have easily taken you down, I think.
I tell you, good game, but both of us stunk.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get you next time, Michael, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks for trying, Michael. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, buddy.